Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Go ahead and turn to the person beside you. Tell them you're lucky you got to sit by me tonight, huh? They're lucky. Is anybody glad to be in God's house tonight? We glad? Somebody happy? I'm happy to be in here. I'm happy to be back in the house of the Lord here in Owensboro. I've been, I said amen to you guys and bye on Sunday morning, and I've been in church for 3 solid days now. So, y'all see my halo yet? Have I sprouted wings or something? I don't know if you've seen the Blues Brothers from years ago, but there was a guy in there that told the Blues Brothers, you need some churching. And I got my dose of churching this week, and I got I was a part of helping put on a conference in Louisville for ministers and pastors. And it's always fun to be with people that help increase your faith. Somebody say amen to that out there. How many of y'all would rather be with people that increase your faith instead of people that feed your doubt, huh? How many of y'all would rather be with people that expand your vision instead of steal your vision? Anybody like that? I'll tell you, about 3/4 of winning in life, maybe 90% of life, is who you run with. The Bible says, show me your friends in so many words. It says it can show you your future. And it says a wise man keeps companion with wise people, and that the fool hangs out with fools and continues to get more foolish. Come on, I just want you to give yourself a hand clap for being in the house of God, being with faith people, being in the atmosphere of God and the church. So I'm telling you, you're getting stronger in here tonight. And I was in Louisville with Dr. Bob Rogers, and he graduated from the university I graduated from, except he was graduating with a doctorate when I was getting my bachelor's degree. And I remember watching him come and speak in chapel. And I would see him speak, and he would speak at times. He had a certain cadence. He still does when he ministers. And I remember watching him prophesy to this kid in chapel. He called this kid out, and the kid stood up. He said, son, I got a word from the Lord for you. And the kid stood up, and he said, you're called to the ministry, but you've been running from the ministry. And the kid started crying. He said, yeah, that's right. And he said, you're in business school right now, aren't you? And he said, yes, that's right. And he said, you're called to be a preacher, but you don't want to be a preacher because you think you got to be broke for the rest of your life if you're going to be a preacher. But the Lord says if you'll do what he calls you to do, he'll bless you. And that's a lie from the enemy, and God will lift you up. Now watch this guy get the word of the Lord on this guy accurately and rend his heart. How many know the Holy Spirit still does stuff like that? He can still. How many of y'all think our God still speaks and talks and knows where we're at? He had this guy's address, you know, this kid's breaking down. And I watched the power of God move through his life. And I remember I was like 21, 22 years old. I watched it and I said, when I grow up, I want to do something like that. And my faith jumped. And I never got to meet him. And somebody came to me. And I don't want you to think every day I have a vision or a dream or get a prophecy or something like that. How many know most days we just read our Bibles and pray and feed our faith? Somebody say amen. But how many y'all like it when the Holy Spirit talks to you too? Y'all like that stuff? Somebody came to me and they gave me a word and they said, hey, you're going to meet somebody within 24 hours and you're going to meet a lot of people. They put a time on it. Within 24 hours, you're going to meet somebody and they're going to open up a lot of avenues throughout the world for you in ministry. And I thought, man, I'm not going anywhere except to Philpot, to my house, and maybe to the church. So if that's the word of the Lord, they're going to have to come find me. I'm not scheduled to go looking for anything. And I got a call like a couple of hours later. Somebody said, hey, I want you to come to Louisville, and I want you to meet Dr. Bob Rogers. And so I went up, and I met him, and he invited me to go to Seoul, Korea. There's a church in Seoul, Korea that became the largest church in the history of Christendom up to its point. And it was in Seoul, and it became a church of almost 1 million members. One church, one city, 1 million people. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap for a church. How many of y'all like to see God do some things like that in America? Anybody want to see that in America? I want to see it here in America. I don't believe God's contained and limited to Korea. I don't believe God's contained or limited to Africa. Come on, somebody. I don't believe he's contained or limited to South America. I believe what God can do down there, he can do right here. Because the same God in Korea is the God we serve in America. The same God that's having revival in Africa, he's right here in Owensboro, Kentucky. Somebody say amen. And so he invited me to go see it, and I always have wanted to see it. I'd read Dr. Cho's books. I loved his spirit of faith already. I would read, there was like five big kind of leading faith guys in the ministry, say back in the 70s, 80s, and on into the 90s, that really led the way. Started before that. And Dr. Cho was kind of my favorite. His writings were my favorite of all of those guys. I'd read almost everything he'd written back then. And I went to see it. When I got there, I walked into a room where these guys were. I got to meet Dr. Cho. I've met him a couple times now. And now there's actually larger churches in Africa. And I walked into the room, and everywhere I talked to these different ministers from different nations. There's about 100 preachers in this room. There were thousands of preachers at the conference. But I got into the room with all the guys that kind of were leaders in that movement. And I would talk to this guy, and he had 100,000 people in this nation, in his church. This guy had 200,000 in his church. There were guys with 50 and 75,000 everywhere there. And I started noticing the largest churches in the world, you could trace them back to being mentored by one man. And that was Dr. Cho. Those guys had come and been mentored by him. And they saw his faith work, and they saw it change things in his church. And it began to develop and to change their spirit. How many know we are who we hang out with? Come on, say this. Say, I am who I hang out with. Let's say it again. I am who I hang out with. One more time. I am who I hang out with. Now, I'm not talking about somebody you're influencing, but somebody you're being influenced by. You got to be very careful, because those slopes are slippery and they go both ways. And I've just made a choice in my life. I want to be with people that lift my faith and not people that push my faith down. So I'm there. I'm checking out the meetings at the church, and it's blowing my mind. And I'll tell you, I believe this with all of my heart. God wants our churches to grow. If you believe that, give God a hand clap. He wants our churches to grow. I've been in a church growth conference all week, and I believe he wants our churches to grow. See, I like people that have great faith, because faith is contagious. And if you'll get up close to people, you get what's on them on you. Whatever's on the person you're by, if you stay by them long enough, you'll begin to get their scent on your life. Because everybody has an aroma. And some people have a good aroma. Come on, they got the smell of Christ. How many of y'all get around Christians, you can just tell when somebody's anointed? That's a Christian. When they come into a room, sometimes you know it before you ever know it, right? Because there's something on them. There's an anointing on them. You know, evil people, there's an evil anointing on them. You ever been around somebody like, that guy's wicked? I just know it. You know, a lot of times undercover cops, they get killed. Why? So they'll get in there with cartel guys or drug guys or bad guys. They're doing undercover work, and they don't have that same demonic anointing on them as the other guys. And those guys can pick them out. They know that guy's a rat. Why? Because he doesn't have the same devil he's got, and he can sense it. It's true if it's evil. It's true if it's good. And you can sense it on somebody. And I'll tell you, whoever you get up against, it gets on you. You begin to carry their scent. How many know if you hang out with a skunk all night, you're going to smell like a skunk tomorrow morning? Amen? You hang out in a rose bush all night, you'll smell like a rose tomorrow morning. Huh? Just look at your neighbor and ask him, what do you smell like? Just ask him that, huh? What do you smell like? What do you smell like? See, I want to smell like faith. Now, I want to show you a guy that the scripture says, he had some of the greatest faith Jesus ever saw in all of Israel. If you have your Bible on you, go ahead and open it up to Matthew chapter 8. Come on, let's check it out. Matthew chapter 8, and I want you to turn to verse 5. Now, I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes, and then I want to lay hands on the end of this service on anyone with an affliction in their body. I believe Christ the healer is here, and that he's going to touch somebody. Somebody's body's going to be changed. Come on, somebody's affliction is going to be relieved. Somebody's going to be healed. We're already healed at Calvary's cross, and I'm believing, God, that it's going to manifest tonight. Somebody say amen. We're going to teach our way till our faith grows. We're going to receive tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. We're going to talk about mega faith. Here's what it says. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says this. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come. Everybody say, I will. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed the same hour. So here's what happens. Jesus is going into Capernaum. Capernaum was the fishing capital of the day where Galilee was. Jesus would go there often to minister. It was kind of a happening area. So he's finding people to follow him. He's calling the guys from the fishing industry that come on his team and are disciples. He's there in Capernaum, and he shows up and he gets there to Capernaum. And one of the first guys that meets him as he enters into the town is a Roman centurion. And so we're talking about a Roman soldier, and not just a soldier, but a leader of 100. To be a centurion meant that you were a leader of 100 people. This man knew what it was to lead. He knew what it was to train. He knew what it was to take care of people. He knew what it was to be under the authority of the Roman government. And this guy, Jesus said this about this guy, you've got greater faith than anybody I've met in the entire land of Israel. And he was not a Jew. He was not a person of normal Jewish ethnic descent, was not a guy raised around the teachings of Judaism, but he'd been touched by the ministry of Jesus and touched by the word of God. And he shows up and he says this. He says, Lord, I want you to come. Will you come help me out? I've got a servant that is dreadfully tormented. He's paralyzed. He's got a problem. He's tormented. And this guy had compassion on his servant. Everybody say compassion. Man, this is a soldier that cares about somebody that serves him. Really, in that day, probably somebody he pretty well owns in a sense and in a way. This guy had total control of this person. Talking about in a day where slavery exists, where captives of war are around, and where life was treated very cheaply in a lot of places. But come on, the Roman centurion cared even about his servant. And he looked, he says, he's down and he's tormented. You know, this guy cared. He loved this person was tormented. This guy shows compassion. I'll tell you, the people that I've met of great faith, they're always people of great compassion. Somebody say compassion. Jesus said he would look at the crowd and he would see them like sheep without a shepherd, and it would move him. He would have compassion on the crowd. He would look at them and see them. A little bit of the heart of God was welling up in this Roman centurion. He's talking about his servant. He's thinking about him, and his heart's torn because this guy needs help. I'm telling you, whenever you begin to follow compassion, you're following the divine flow of God. If you see a situation and it rends your heart, it hurts you, you want to do something about it, you've tapped into the heart of God. And I'm telling you, whenever you follow that flow, you follow compassion, you follow love, that's when God starts to show up and show out. The scripture says this, to follow after love. Come on, everybody say follow after love. Let's say it again, follow after love. One more time, follow after love. It says to follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Says especially that you may prophesy. I believe this, if you want to see God move miraculously somewhere around you, the doorway to the miraculous movement of God is the doorway of love. When you have compassion, God starts to move and flow through you. Sometimes I'll look at people and I'll have a compassion or a drawing to them, and I won't even know what to do whenever I get there. And I'll just walk over and I follow my compassion, and I just kind of trust God that God's going to put the right words in my mouth or do something when I get there. A lot of times I have no idea when I step out. I step out by faith. And I got friends that push me to do stuff like this at times. I'll be ministering, and I got a buddy, I was just up in Alaska. He did this to me. I'm up there preaching and I'm praying. And when I travel, I prophesy quite a bit because I don't know everybody in the room. It becomes easier, right? Right now I could pick you out and I could I can tell you everything about your past because I've known you for years, right? I'm like, I know exactly about you. That thing kind of kicks in at a higher level sometimes when I'm traveling. And he'll stand somebody up and he'll say, Pastor Brian, come prophesy to him. And I'm like, I have absolutely nothing to say to that guy. But you just put the pressure on me, so I'm going to start walking towards him. And I'm going to believe God. God's going to give me something by the time I got there. And that's when supernatural stuff starts happening. Because faith doesn't know what it's going to do when it gets there. Come on, faith just takes a step. Look at your neighbor and tell them to take a step, right? You see somebody, you got like a divine flow. God might want you to witness that person, pray for that person. Come on, love that person. That's the doorway, the compassion. And if you just follow, you don't know what else to do for them. If you got a compassion for somebody in the city, I'll tell you what you do. You go to them and invite them to church. Somebody, give the Lord a hand clap if you think that's a good idea. How many of y'all want to bring somebody to your church? And I promise you this, we're going to get the air conditioner fixed somehow in here soon, so they don't have to sweat when they get here. So please forgive us for the heat in here. I'm sweating to the oldies right now. I get my cardio workout in right now, and I'm shedding a few pounds, so praise the Lord. But we're gonna get it. The roof's almost supposed to almost be done. I hope it's close. And I just want to thank everybody that gave at the beginning of the year to make that possible. Come on, let's give them a hand clap for taking care of that. We do have about, just while I'm talking about it, about 30 grand, I think, of AC work that needs to be done right now. Commercial units always cost a ton of money. Some have went out, and we're gonna get that straightened up very quickly. But the compassion of God, it begins to move this guy. And so he comes to Jesus. He comes by faith. He's got Jesus there. This guy could ask for anything. And he asked for the life and the help of his servant. I love that about this guy. And so the scripture says this. He says he's tormented. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Let me tell you something. Our God is a healing God. He's a God whose nature is to heal. His name is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, the healer. He's not a God that's trying to figure out. You don't have to figure out if God wants to heal you or not. Let me ask you a question. How many of you out in the room right now would call yourself a Christian? Let me see your hand. You believe Jesus is Messiah. All right, let's say this out loud. I'm a Christian. All right, the Bible teaches that for every Christian, every blood-bought covenant person that believes that Christ is Messiah, that your healing has already been paid for at the cross, at the whipping post. Jesus took stripes on his back that you might be healed. And so your healing has forever, once and for all, been paid for. It's paid for. It's paid for in full. It's yours. You can have it. If you believe it, you receive it. God is a healer. He will not turn you aside. It is his will to come and heal. Come on, let's give the healer a hand clap. I'm telling you. He said, I will come and heal him. I'll do it. I never see one time in the scripture somebody comes up to Jesus with sickness and says, heal me. And he's like, sorry, buddy, you're out of luck. I don't feel like healing you today. Somebody please show me the text that says that. But people say it all the time like that's what God's like. Well, you never know what God's going to do. He might heal you, he might not. Might not be his will. Well, how many know God's will? A lot of people, they act like God's will is always done. But I say unto you, God's will is seldom done. It's a wild statement, isn't it? God's will is seldom done on the earth. What did Jesus say? He told us how to pray. Thy kingdom come. Come on, church. Thy kingdom come. Thy what? He told us to pray that the will would be done on earth, the will of God, on earth as it is in heaven. Why did he say that? Because the will of God is seldom done on earth. How many of y'all believe, Jesus died for the sins of the world? See your hands. Y'all believe that out there? All right, he died for the sins of the world. Somebody say amen to that. All right, we believe Jesus died for the sins of the world. But does everyone go to heaven? No. And is it the will of God for those people to go to hell? No. The Bible says he's not willing, says this, he's not willing. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing for any to perish, but all to have salvation. So their salvation's paid for. And it's not God's will that any of them would die and go to hell, yet they go to hell. Why? Why? Because the will of God is not always done. So just because the will of God's not always done, because people don't receive it, because we live in a fallen world, because of this situation or that situation, we don't always know why. It is still paid for. And I never want to be the person that kills somebody's faith that's about one step away from a miracle. So I don't bring up why it didn't happen in some situation. I talk about when it did happen and what the Word of God says. And I'm going to rest my faith there, and I'm going to put everything else behind me and believe that God is good. He's a healer. He's for me. He's not against me. He loves me, and he loves you. Come on, give God a hand clap if you believe that tonight. I'm telling you, he's a healer. He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destructions. And multitudes come to him. He heals them again and again and again. So you got to get that in your heart and in your spirit and just believe it. Pastor, have you ever prayed for somebody that died? Yes, all the time. I still believe God's a healer. Do I know why? No. It's not my job to know why. It's my job to pray. Come on, somebody. So I'll tell you, when I first started to learn to pray for the sick, I thought I was killing people. I mean, I'm just telling you. I was like, I was on a roll. Everybody I prayed for died for a while, you know? And I'm like, I felt like I was the prophet of death or something showing up. You know what I kept doing? I just kept praying for people. You know what? God started healing them. And if you'll be as bold as to lay hands on somebody, God will heal them through you too. It's not just for preachers, it's for Christians. Believers will lay hands on the sick, the Bible says, and they shall recover. He says, I will come and I'll heal them. And I've seen major miracles, amazing things, again and again and again. Come on, let's give God one more hand clap. He is a healer. This guy got a revelation. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Verse 8. The centurion answered. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, the centurion answers. He says, listen, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. He said, listen, it's not even, Jesus said, I'll come. Yeah, I'll come and heal him. I'm ready to come. This guy's got such great faith. And really, he's a man of humility. He says, I'd love for you to come to my house and be a blessing. But he's like, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. And like, this guy wasn't born again. He wasn't a Christian. And it wasn't a fake. You ever seen the humble brag thing? Like somebody, you know, they'll be like, hey, I'm so humbled to be chosen as the greatest man in the universe at what I do on Instagram. And then it'll be like, hashtag humbled. It's like that. It's like, that's the humble brag, right? Y'all know when it's fake. Or, you know, religious people start talking like that, the real religious guy. And they'll say, you know, I'm nobody, I'm not worthy, I'm this and I'm that. And it's like, no, if you're born again, now you're worthy because the Lamb is worthy and the Lamb lives on the inside of you. You don't need to see yourself like that. But we need to see yourself through the lens of Jesus. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all think we ought not see ourselves as nobodies anymore? We're a somebody. You're somebody Jesus died for, to save and to wash and to cleanse. You are worth the blood of Jesus. You have great value. I'm telling you, you see yourself through the lens of the worth of the Lamb of God now. So it's powerful, but it's also powerful not to be prideful. And this guy in his state, he realized where he was at that time. He realized his reality. He said, listen, I'm not worthy for you to even come into my house. But he says something amazing then. He says, but you speak the word only. Come on, everybody say, speak the word. Let's say it again, speak the word. He said, if you speak the word only, you just send the word. You don't have to come. You just send a word, Jesus. And I believe so much in you and your power and who you are. I believe if you say the word, my servant will be healed. He goes on, he says, I too am a man under authority. He says that. I'm a man under authority. He was a guy under the authority of Rome. He got it. He said, if you just speak a word, there's such authority on you. He said, whenever I say to somebody, the word comes to me, I say to a servant, go do this, and he does it. Because I'm a man under authority. Everybody say under authority. See, his Roman centurion knew that he was under the authority of Rome. Right? Whenever a police officer tells you to stop, those blue lights come on. If he's out there in his own authority, I'm not stopping for anybody. If it's just him. But how many know if he's under the authority of the law of the land that I'm in? How many better hit the brake lights, right? It's time to pull over. There's an authority there. This guy's under the authority of Rome. And he says, if I send a servant, that servant goes and he does whatever I said. He was saying, I'm under the authority of Rome, but you're under the authority of heaven. He understood authority. He said, if you speak the word, my servant will be healed. Listen, this guy was a man of authority. Everybody say authority. Authority and understanding and recognizing authority and where it flows from is where faith people are at. Real faith people, they understand that all authority in heaven and earth, it was given unto Jesus, and he gave it unto us. You ought to say this out loud. Say, I'm under the authority of heaven. Come on, say it again. I'm under the authority of heaven. One more time. I'm under the authority of heaven. See, understanding authority and recognizing like that. Military people, they get that. They've been in that world before. They know when their commanding officer says, this is what you do, this is what you do. The next guy says, this is what you do, this is what you do. It's an authority thing. But as Americans, we're kind of trained to buck authority in a lot of ways. Nobody likes authority. Authority's a bad word. Nobody likes order. Nobody likes being told what to do. How many of you, when you go somewhere, you don't want to be told where to sit? You want to sit where you want. Come on, somebody. Huh? It's like, I'm an American. I sit where I want. It's the way we think. But listen, if you're not under authority in life, the scripture teaches you never have authority in life. If Jesus wouldn't come under the authority of the Father, he wouldn't have operated in authority on the earth. Now, I think there's a power to coming under authority. I think a kid that comes under the authority of his father and mother in the right way is a kid that'll be blessed in life. How many of y'all believe that? I believe that. I think a worker in the workplace that comes under the authority of the boss they're placed under, and I know they're not perfect. That's the authority test. Whenever you can follow someone when they're not perfect. How many of anybody could follow a perfect leader, but there's no such thing as a perfect leader. Somebody say amen to that. No such thing. So it's an authority test. This Roman centurion comes under authority. Now, I remember having leaders in life and even in the church world that told me things I did not like, I didn't want to hear. And I'll tell you, sometimes I just thought they were wrong. They weren't morally wrong or wicked, but they might have been wrong on an issue. But I want to be a guy that respects that authority. Because if you'll be a man that's under authority, God will lift you up and he'll pick you up. But we live in an hour that is void of authority. We live in a world where preachers, there's so many preachers that aren't out under authority. They weren't sent by any fivefold ministry gift. They just went and tore a hunk off of a church, and they committed a schism in a church, and now they're out speaking into somebody's life. These guys don't have authority. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And it muddies the water out there. And it muddies the faith thing. Tell what, there's a flow when you get aligned under heaven and under earth. Now, I'll tell you what, that's where the anointing comes in. And here's when I started to realize and operate in any spiritual power in my life. It's when I got under authority. I'm not talking about somebody abusive, somebody that loves you and helps you and lines you up. How many are thankful for the godly authorities that you had in your life? A good mom, a good dad, come on, a good coach, a good teacher, a good pastor. The good ones were great, weren't they? And learning to flow like that's massive. This centurion knew it. Knew Jesus, you're under authority. And he said, you speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Your belief has made your servant whole. The Bible says about the time Jesus said that, man, the power of God came into his house. That servant set up and was healed by the glory and the goodness of God. Come on, all we need is the word. The word is enough. Somebody say amen to that. How many are thankful we got a word from Jesus right here in the New Testament that he will come and heal, he will come and save, he will come and deliver. He's a God that's given us a good word. Let's believe it and operate in it, and we're going to get the best for our life. Listen, he's a healing Jesus. Jesus was prophesied about in Isaiah. Isaiah saw it prophetically. He saw it centuries before Jesus ever came to the earth. He saw that the man who would enter into the role of Messiah, fully God and fully man, that he would live without any sin and that he would go to the cross to die for our sins. And Isaiah began to prophesy, and he said these words. He said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Come on. Say, by his stripes, we're healed. Is that a wonderful promise, or is that a wonderful promise? Say, well, we ought to take that word and speak that word only in our house and over our life. Instead of about our sickness, our affliction, our disease, whatever it is, speak the word that I am healed. What comes out of your mouth is what you're going to live in, walk in, and operate in. Would you stand up on your feet with me?